UTC, and it looks like it's June 7th, which means that it must be a Monday. Oh boy, Mondays, right? Garfield really taught me a lot about them. Let's go ahead and give a big shout out to everybody who's so patient and calm, including Ratsu, SMJ, and Stug, and Robert 5888, who continues to use Imgur instead of the illustrious Windows meta array file image host. Anyway, oh, and Publius, an X1. Oh boy. Hello, one and all. Oh, and Tobe, can't forget Tobe. Tobe's here. And if you missed it, Jazmaz had a very interesting show and tell. All right. Well, life is a painful slow march towards death, and that's just kind of how it goes. That's how we roll. And now, let's go ahead and get started the way we always start, or at least usually.
World news.
That's right. It is time for the world news. So we'll whirl it up and start over here in Pakistan. It wouldn't be sad news to me if we didn't start with death. Pakistan train accident. A collision involving two passenger trains in southern Pakistan has killed at least 40 people and injured dozens. A train traveling in Sindh province derailed and landed on another track, officials said. A second train, packed with passengers, then collided with it and overturned. Rescue teams took the injured to nearby hospitals, and it's thought that several are in critical condition. Pakistan's seen a string of deadly train accidents over the past years. Between 2013 and 2019, 150 people died in such incidents, according to local media reports. The accident in Gogi district happened early on Monday when the Millet Express coming from Karachi derailed, falling onto another track. It's not clear what caused the derailment. And Sir Syed Express coming from Walanpindi collided with it and overturned. And there's some pretty high-quality photos of the wreck on the BBC.com if you want to check it out. Specialist equipment's been brought in to help rescue those trapped in the tangled wreckage. A senior official told Reuters news agency it was hard to know how many people were still trapped in the train. There are about 6 to 8 bogies, or carriages, that were totally smashed. There's a sleeper train, air-conditioned class, as well as economy class, in which there were between 47 to 50 people on this side and around 50 to 60 people on the other train. Prime Minister Imran Khan said he was shocked by the accident and promised a full inquiry. A passenger on board one of the trains told Agence France-Presse, that's AFP for those that don't know, that he felt lucky to have survived. It happened at 3:30, he said. We were asleep when we felt jerks. Luggage began to fall. Thank God we stayed safe. Hospitals in the area have been put on emergency alert to deal with the casualties. So, phew, what do you know? well, don't worry. So that happened there, but at least there are survivors, so that's a bright side. But not so much. At least 100 killed in suspected jihadist attack in Burkina Faso. The suspected jihadist attackers first targeted the post of the Volunteers for the Defense of the Fatherland, i.e. civilian auxiliaries of the army, after which they went to carry out executions in the concessions. On Friday night, armed individuals carried out a deadly incursion in Sohan, in the Yaga province. The death toll, still provisional, is about 100 people killed, men and women, the security forces told AFP. A security source told AFP, the attack and death toll have since been officially confirmed by the government. In addition to the high death toll of reportedly the deadliest attack recorded in the country since the start of the jihadist violence of 2015, houses and the local market were set on fire in the small town. The borough is located about 15 kilometers from Seba, the capital of Yaga province, not far from the Malian border. The area has seen numerous attacks in recent years. A 72-hour national mourning period has been decreed by the authorities from midnight on June 5th to 11:59 p.m. on Monday, June 7th. It'll be ending soon. This happened on the 6th, or excuse me, they use Euro time. This says last updated 0506, but this is June 5th, so that would have been Saturday, I guess. The Burkinabe Armed Forces have launched a large-scale operation in the north and Sahel regions in light of a surge of jihadist attacks since May 5th. On May 14th, the Minister of Defense, Sherif Sy, and members of the military hierarchy went to Sebha, assuring that the situation had returned to normal after numerous military operations. The massive attack by suspected jihadists followed closely on the heels of another attack on Friday evening of a village in the same region, Tadarayat, in which at least 14 people, including a civilian deputy, were killed. These attacks come a week after two other attacks in the same area, in which 4 people, including 2 members of the VDP, were killed. So, pretty wild, yeah, but it's a big attack, massive, but yeah, very scary times. You definitely, anybody who's anywhere near Mali or in that Sahel region is really having a rough time this year. that's sad, but, hold up. Sorry, got something in my throat. Oh, that's probably what this, no, I can't make death jokes, but don't worry, we've still got lots more death to report. Norway police say body on shore is Kurdish-Iranian boy who died in channel. Police in Norway have said a body found on the country's coast earlier this year is that of a missing 15-month-old who died in the English Channel. The child, named Artin, died along with 4 family members when the boat they were traveling in sank in October. The Kurdish-Iranian family had been attempting to reach the UK from France. Relatives of the family have spoken of their grief and confusion as they waited to hear what happened to Artin. Now the child's remains will be flown back to Iran to be buried. On Monday, police in Norway said the body had been found on the country's southwestern shore near Karmøy by 2 officers on New Year's Day. We didn't have a missing baby reported in Norway, and no family had contacted the police. Camilla Gjeldi Waag, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, I'll put that in com.
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
The head of police investigations told the BBC. The blue overall wasn't a Norwegian brand either, and that indicated the baby was not from Norway, she added. A DNA profile was then obtained, and the family were notified that it was in fact Artin. Skilled professionals in the Department of Forensic Science at Oslo University Hospital managed to retrieve matching DNA profiles. So, the boat carrying the family sank in the channel on October 27th. Rasul Iran Najad, 35, Shiva Mohammed Panay, 35, Anita, 9, and Armin, 6, all died. The family were from the city of Sardashat in western Iran near the border with Iraq. 15 other migrants were taken to hospital, and an investigation into the sinking was opened in Dunkirk by the French public prosecutor. So, yeah, really sad. It's great that they were able to recover the remains and get it all identified, but really sad. So, yeah, it's very interesting why they would go from France all to, it's like you're already in the EU, especially in October before Brexit. Shavin, the child's aunt who lives in Switzerland, said she wanted Artin to be reunited with the rest of his family. She said they would complete the required paperwork so Artin's remains could be returned. Shortly after the sinking, the BBC saw a series of text messages believed to have been sent by Ms. Mohammed Panahai, including one that acknowledged the danger of crossing the channel by boat, but concluded, "We have no other choice. If we want to go with a lorry, we might need more money that we don't have." Another said, "I have 1,000 sorrows in my heart. Now that I have left Iran, I would like to forget my past." Let's see. Did I miss the spot that explained why they were trying to get the boat, the family, 15? Nope. Sorry, I didn't know reading the story quietly to myself is not really what the show's about, but I'm just trying to see what the deal was. Thousands of Iranian Kurdish refugees put the lives of their families in the hands of smugglers and go to Europe every year. The Kurdish region in Iran has faced both political prosecution and vast economic disparity. Between 25 and 35 million Kurds inhabit mountainous regions straddling the borders of Turkey, Iraq, Syria, Iran, and Armenia. They make up the 4th largest ethnic group in the Middle East, but they've never obtained a permanent nation state. So, yeah, not sure what happened there. Sounds like they were being smuggled to the UK, so they'd made it. Here's an infographic that just loaded. The family left their home in Iran They got to Turkey, where smugglers took them to Italy. From Italy, they were driven in a car to France. And then in France, they were all put on a boat with those other people. And that family died. So that's what happened. Man, life is crazy. And it's just...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Well, speaking of people getting put to rest, here's another one for you. Villagers are burying the victims of an attack by a gang of cattle thieves on 7 villages in northwest Nigeria's Kebbi State. The horrific attack left at least 88 people dead. Kebbi State Police spokesman Naifu Abubakar said dozens of assailants on motorcycles attacked 7 neighboring villages in Danko Wasagu district on Thursday. The gunmen targeted the villages of Koro, Kimpi, Gaya, Dimi, Zutu, Rathangora, and Iguenji. Many people were still unaccounted for Sunday after fleeing the attacks. The police spokesman said the search is underway and more bodies could be found. So the toll is not conclusive yet, Abubakar added. Northwest and central Nigeria are a hub of criminal gangs known locally as bandits who raid villages, harass residents, and burn down homes. The gangs maintain camps in Rugu Forest, which borders Zamfara, Katsina, Kaduna, and Niger states. Nigeria's security forces, who are also battling a more than a decade-long jihadist insurgency in the northeast of the country, are being stretched to their limit. The attackers released 11 of the pupils. State authorities in Nigeria state say they were negotiating with gunmen who seized 136 children from an Islamic seminary last weekend. The attackers released 11 of the pupils who were too small and couldn't walk very far, the authorities previously said. Nearly 700,000 people have been internally displaced in northwest and north-central Nigeria in February, according to the United Nations Migration Agency, IOM, that's India, Oscar, Mike, as a result of violence. Whew, really rough, tough times for everyone involved there. Well, you know, yeah, that's rough. Things are pretty heavy, but that's fine. Here's the faint. With Let the Poison Spill from Your Throat.
Pressure's unreal. I'm not saying that it's not. You're causing a scene. You're wearing out that note. You scream until it's gone. You scream until it's gone. We'll be right back.
paper on views, the trust you had, and now you don't want it.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is 100% correct, and you're listening to News to Me on Monday, June 7th, 2021. And if it's not June 7th, 2021, sorry, I guess I forgot to upload a show. Anywho, stick around. It is 1917 UTC, but at 1930 UTC every single day of the week, any day, past, present, future, you can listen to the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe on Anon Radio. If you miss it, check out the archives. Just go to anonradio.net and you can click on the archive link. Anyway, definitely stick around, check that out. It being Monday, you will see all the cool shows going on. If you're in comm, the way that we can chat during the shows and during stuff, just press the equal key. And boom, you'll get to see the schedule. But we got News to Me today, then Dubious Goals Committee, then Something Blue, the Mix Remix with Harry Larry, and then, it looks like Harmonica Player has something going on Tuesday at 0600, so, I don't know, I guess that's midnight my time? I can't remember. Anyway, just check it all out. Life is good. At least if you're listening on radio. Life is good.
That's correct.
All right. Let's go ahead and get our show keep on moving. We got
world news
and a couple of
news.
So we're going to do that in just a moment. Let's get started. Also, hello to people that joined after I gave shout outs earlier. Northern Lights and Blink and Non-Functional. Hello, hello. Welcome. All right. First, Chinese birth control policy could cut millions of Uyghur births, report finds. Chinese birth control policies could reduce the ethnic minority population in southern Xinjiang by up to a third over the next 20 years, according to new analysis by a German researcher. The analysis concluded that regional policies could cut between 2.6 and 4.5 million minority births in that time. China has been accused by some Western nations of genocide in Xinjiang, partly through forced birth control measures. China denies the allegation, saying birth rates declines have other causes. The new study by researcher Adrian Zenz is the first such peer-reviewed academic paper on the long-term population impact of China's crackdown on the Uyghurs and other minority groups. It found that under China's birth control policies in the region, the population of ethnic minorities in southern Xinjiang would reach somewhere between 8.6 and 10.5 million by 2040, compared to 13.1 million projected by Chinese researchers before Beijing's crackdown. So, we'll see what happens there. Ooh. I'm confused. I get confused sometimes, but that's okay. We just reboot, start over. All right, I'm going to sneeze. All right, sorry about that. All right, Boko Haram leader killed on direct orders of Islamic State. The death of the leader of the Nigerian militant Islamic group Boko Haram has been confirmed by rival extremist faction that said it carried out the killing on the direct orders of Islamic State leadership thousands of miles away in the Middle East. Abu Bakr Shekau, one of the most infamous leaders of Islamic militant groups anywhere in the world, died last month after detonating an explosive device while being pursued by fighters from the Islamic State, West African Province, or ISWAP. ISWAP fighters had stormed the Sambisa Forest, a swath of strategically important dense forest in Nigeria's northeast, which was Shekau's base. His death both delighted and embarrassed Nigerian and international security forces, who spent a decade devoting huge resources on hunting down Shekau. That was the operation against Shekau that was launched on the direct orders of the leadership of ISIS in the Middle East, which is concerned by Boko Haram's indiscriminate targeting of believers, underlines the continuing global reach of the group through its affiliates and the possibility of further expansion in Africa. So, very interesting. Yeah, it seems kind of scary, but it's kind of nice to think that maybe these groups could end up just killing each other, and then we could have some peace. It's unknown. All right. Well, let's lighten the mood. Let's go ahead.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Yep. Here you go. Check this out. Climate change. Sea snot is killing Turkey's Marmara Sea. Mass fish deaths have been observed, with environmental experts warning of possible disease outbreaks such as cholera. Omur Kurasik has fished in Turkey's Sea of Marmara since he was 15 years old, just as his father did before him. But the water has been taken over by a sticky web of sea snot, caused by rising sea temperatures and ineffective waste management. And if something is not done soon, he cannot see a way he can carry on. The current flare-up, which began in December, is the inland sea's largest recorded marine mucilage bloom, and it's devastating the ecosystem, from the shores of Europe's most populous city, Istanbul, to the Aegean, a popular spot with holiday makers. Environment experts say the slimy substance is the result of an overproduction of phytoplankton caused by climate change and the dumping of household and industrial waste. Divers have observed mass fish deaths and say corals and sponges are fully coated in clumps of organic matter, often fatally, while ugly brown froth is being coughed up to the surface like phlegm from a diseased lung. The phenomena is a stark warning to the world, a glimpse into an imminent future if humans continue to push the planet's life support systems to the edge. In the resort town of Erdik, to the south, which sits on a peninsula that has seen some of the worst visible effects, fishermen say, as Kasirik say, their livelihoods have all been stalled for the last 6 months. The sludge collects in their nets, making them so heavy they break or get lost. The ones that do make it back are frequently empty as the strings are coated, making them visible to the fish. Karasik 35, who is a family of two, and a 2.5-year-old child to support, said he's out at sea most days from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m., and yet he barely makes more money than it costs. We used to throw a few nets in twice a night and get 3 to 5 kilos of fish from each, he said. Now we throw 10 nets in again and again and get the same amount of fish in total. Over the last 4 days, I've spent 1,000 lira on fuel, but made perhaps 1,200 or 1,500. If it carries on like this, I'll have to give up fishing. So, what a wild... what a wild thing. It's kind of like, that would be an interesting self-defense mechanism. It's like, you know what? Climate change is real. Well, how real? Oh, let's just say the ocean turns into this bowl of snot. Holy cow. Wow. I took my allergy pill, but I'm still sniffly. All right, so here's another climate story. Climate crisis is going to shrink G7 economies twice as much as COVID-19, says research. The economies of rich countries will shrink by twice as much as they did in the COVID-19 crisis if they fail to tackle rising greenhouse gas emissions. The G7 countries, the world's biggest industrialized economies, will lose 8.5% of GDP a year, or nearly $5 trillion wiped off their economies within 30 years if temperatures rise by 2.6 degrees C, as they are likely to on the basis of government pledges and policies around the world. The economies of the G7 nations contracted by about 4.2% on average in the coronavirus pandemic. So, very, very interesting, scary stuff there. You can read more about it on The Guardian. We're running out of time. We only got about 5 minutes, so I don't want to spend too long on that. We got other sad stuff to talk about. A prominent Nigerian televangelist, TB, or Tango Bravo Joshua, died. The Nigerian televangelist Timotope Balogun Joshua, one of Africa's most popular televangelists, who is known as TB Joshua, died at 57 on Sunday. Some of his believers claim the preacher already knew that he was going to die soon. The ruler of his hometown, Oba Yisa Alanepekun, told reporters that the preacher had prophesied his departure in his last sermon. If you listened to his last preaching 2 days ago, you'll see he already knew that he is ready to go. The preacher died at 2 a.m. on Sunday, June 6th, though the cause of his death is not known. So we'll see what happens there. But it's just some sad news. It's always think, I never really thought of televangelists being big outside of the deep south of the United States. So, hey, more you know. All right, here's some tech news. Whoops. Here it is.
It's time for tech news.
Check it out. French regulators fine Google 220 million euros over advertising practices. France's competition regulator on Monday fined Google 220 million euros, which is $267 million US, after finding it had abused its dominant market position for placing online ads, the latest move by European authorities to take tougher stances against the US tech giants. The penalty is part of a settlement reached after three media groups, News Corp, French daily Le Figaro, and Belgium's Groupe Rossel, accused Google of effectively having a monopoly over online ad sales. The Autorité de la Concurrence determined that Google gave preferential treatment to its own ad auction service, AdX, and DoubleClick ad exchange platform. Clients trying to place ads on internet sites or mobile apps using rival platforms often found they were paying more than those using both of Google's services, since regrouped under the Google Ad Manager brand. The regulator said Google did not contest its findings and has committed to operational changes, including improved interoperability with third-party ad placement providers. It's the first ruling in the world to scrutinize the complex algorithmic process for the auctions that determine online display advertising. What are the consequences of climate change? That's going to be interesting to see. I'm all over the place. We're going to run out of time. So let's just do a couple of... let's do two more things, because otherwise we'll totally run out of time. First, Jin Sakai likened Fox News reporters to Russian and Chinese propagandists. Joe Biden's White House press secretary has likened reporters from Fox News and other right-wing outlets to representatives of the Russian and Chinese media asking questions directed by their government propaganda pushers to be treated with extreme caution. Sakai was, Psaki, I'm not sure how to say her last name, was speaking to CNN's Reliable Sources in an interview broadcast on Sunday. Her relations with the media have been smoother and her briefings more frequent than predecessor in the Trump administration, but clashes with reporters, including Peter Doocy on Fox News, have made headlines. So, they're not fans of Fox, surprise, surprise. And Justin Trudeau, acknowledged the Indigenous genocide, but it could have some legal impacts. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's acceptance of an inquiry's finding that Canada committed genocide against Indigenous people could have tremendous legal impact if a court ever weighs Ottawa's responsibility for crimes against humanity. So we'll see what happens. The Pope didn't take any responsibility for the kids that died that was in the news. Anyway, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for listening. Please stick around for the Dubious Skulls Committee.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday,